Yo, yo, what's up? It's fantasy football time. Just mixing it up, Jamie. Just mixing it up. What'd you think? Attention grabber. Come on, speak.
I just gotta let that one settle a little bit.
All right.
That one's gotta marinate.
Hey, everyone. It's fantasy football time on Tuesday, April 23rd. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg. Dave Richard is going to join us in a little bit.
Adam, a little piece of history for you.
Yeah.
A year ago, on the Tuesday before the NFL draft, you know what happened?
No.
The Colts announced with the number one pick they would take Andrew Luck. You know the Chiefs who have announced who they would take with the number one pick?
Who they said?
They have not announced who they would take with
no,
the number one pick.
It's going to be pretty interesting. Are you looking forward to the draft?
Yeah, although it's a boring group of players. It's a very... Yeah. Talentless group going in. Someone will emerge, obviously, as the season goes on. But
talentless at the skill positions.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you really sort of judge. Yeah. You know, I mean,
for us viewers,
not many people study offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and you know, we'll see how the defensive backs and linebackers play out. But
well, you know who does study those players? Dane Brugler. He's one of our CBSSports.com draft analysts. We are hoping to have him on the show to talk about the draft. In about 10 or 15 minutes, we are hoping for that. Dave, we are hoping to have him, and we have him. Dave, Richard, that is.
Who, me?
Yeah,
I can't wait for Dave.
We were hoping to have you.
To go back and listen to how horrendous your intro was today.
It was kind of, you know, it was very off-season-y, very fun, hip-hoppy.
Hip-hoppy?
Yeah.
Did you rap?
No, I didn't rap, but anyway.
He bounced around the room, though, a little bit.
Well,
who doesn't bounce around the room?
I'm looking forward to the draft to a degree. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Dane Brugler.
Dave, what's your favorite mountain in Disney World?
My favorite mountain?
Yeah, Space Splash Thunder.
Splash.
The worst one.
It's the worst one. Yeah.
So why is it your favorite?
Because my kids like it the most.
All right. Thunder's the best. We got injuries, news, and notes. We have your tweets a little bit later. Going to skip the emails.
What about
this week.
Mount Everest?
That's a great call.
That's
a great call. Injuries, news, and notes, tweets, and hopefully some draft talk. Let's start with the Broncos running backs. And Willis McGahee, Ronnie Hillman, what are we hearing about these guys right now?
If you're hearing John Elway, he's making it sound like Ronnie Hillman is going to be a change of pace guy. That's how he referred to him at the pre-draft press conference.
Which is completely different from what John Fox has
been
saying all
offseason. Yeah, John Fox has been talking like he wants this guy to be more than
I mean, clearly there's some motivation involved there because we know that Ronnie Hillman had trouble getting on the field because of his pass protection. I think if you're looking at the way that John Elway, he was asked about his running back situation twice in a pre-draft press conference. And both times when he mentioned Willis McGahee, or as our good friend Nathan Zagura likes to call him, Bill.
Bill McGahee.
As he mentioned Willis McGahee, he said he's our big back right now. And he used the words right now.
Both times.
And I think that was done on purpose because it's very clear that they're going to go out and they're going to draft a running back or at least see how the dominoes fall when some of these guys are released. But they have the ammunition to get a running back in the draft. And I think if that happens, then McGahee's job is probably in trouble. So if you're looking at McGahee as a keeper, I probably wouldn't recommend it regardless, but it doesn't look very good for his long-term future or even short-term future with the Denver Broncos.
What about his midterm future?
His midterm future is actually not bad.
Yeah, it looks great.
But to Dave's point, I don't think Ronnie Hillman, at least in John Elway's eyes, will ascend to the starter spot if, in fact, McGahee is cut. It could be a wide-open situation for the Broncos' backfield if McGahee's not there. They also may allow McGahee to try and win the job and prove that he's healthy in training camp before cutting him.
And Chris Ivory, so it looks like he's on his way to the Jets in a trade. What does that mean for the rest of the Jets' backfield, and what does it mean for Chris Ivory?
I love this. I'll let Dave bring it down. I love this trade, though.
Oh, yeah. I love it, too. Chris Ivory's been a guy that I think we've both liked, Jamie. We see a talent here, physical inside runner. Good speed, too, for a guy of his typical stature. You don't necessarily equate speed with him. And he's just kind of buried on the depth chart in New Orleans. And the Saints aren't going to get rid of Mark Ingram. A, they can't get anything for him.
Right.
And B, that staff drafted him with a first-round pick. So they're tied to him. No chance they're getting rid of Darren Sproles. Even though he's getting up there in age, still very productive and very effective. They've got a role that they need him to play. Pierre Thomas, no one will give him anything for Pierre Thomas. Even though Thomas is a good... capable person who can play that role. He's just not he's not going to be taking that role. So Ivory's the one left over, and they might as well get a pick for him.
And also they don't want to have to worry about, losing Ivory as a unrestricted free agent when that happens. I believe it's next year, right?
Yes.
So they want to get something for him now. They're not going to play him ahead of those guys because, as Dave mentioned, the value, I think, to the Saints, forget about what anybody else will give them, the value to the Saints for Ingram, Sproles, and Thomas is much higher than it would be to another team. Thomas is sort of, you know, you'd look at Thomas and Ivory and say, well, why wouldn't they play Ivory over Thomas? Thomas sort of plays that hybrid role for them of a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield, who can run between the tackles, who can work at the goal line. He sort of can do it all. Whereas the other two guys are sort
of set. He's the church key of that team's offense.
The other two guys are sort of set in their roles in terms of Ingram and Sproles. So Ivory is somebody, as we saw last year, has the chance. You know, he can average. I don't think he'll do it with the Jets, but he can be a 4.5 to 5 yard average type of guy. And if he gets enough work, certainly has the opportunity to be successful. Now, clearly you're looking at a Jets offense that's miserable and an offensive line that's fading, you know, where it once was when Thomas Jones was running well behind that line. You know, you're looking at this group right now. You know, Sean Green did okay. Chris Ivory, I think, is a little bit better talent than Sean Green.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes. But I think if this trade falls the way that it looks like it's going to happen, which is for a fifth-round pick, Chris Ivory, in my opinion, ascends to a number three fantasy running back.
At least. Yeah, it kind of pushes down Goodson, too.
Oh, it pushes down Goodson tremendously.
Right.
Because Goodson is someone that will be that, like we just talked about, Ronnie Hillman, change of pace type of guy. Goodson has trouble staying healthy. You know, this is something we talked about over the last couple of weeks. Ivory, to me, would be the Jets running back you want to target.
And maybe I'm in the minority. And I know this isn't really fantasy relevant. Well, it's not for the Jets. It is for the Buccaneers. I think the Jets did the right thing with Revis.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I think the Bucs did the right thing, too, though. I think the trade worked out for both sides because of Revis's contract.
I do think the Jets win, though.
You think the Jets win?
Yeah, in that trade. Because you don't know where Revis is going to be when he comes back.
Well, I don't think the Bucs make the trade unless they're reasonably confident it'll be 90% of what it was.
For the Bucs, I think it's win-win for both sides. But if you're looking at who wins the trade, I think it's the Jets because they get value now before he starts to fade. You don't have to worry about the uncertainty if he comes back and he's a step slower or is just not the same type of player anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know with these guys because they get such a reputation, and Revis had the biggest reputation of them all, of people not throwing at them. Are they that legit and they that good? He's great. I'm not taking anything away from Darrell Revis. But will teams challenge him now? And we'll see. You know, it was the same thing with Nnamdi Asamoah. He went from Oakland to Philly where no one threw at him in Oakland because he had this reputation of this great lockdown corner, physical guy, liked to play press coverage. Revis has been fantastic. He's been unbelievable. But as we saw, look at the Buffalo Bills. Perfect example. They weren't afraid to throw at Revis. And Steve Johnson has way with him 2 games last year.
I can't really agree with you, though, because I have seen teams throw at Revis and not really live to tell about it. Well, I can remember the Giants throwing at him, and he completely shut down Akeem Nicks.
How many receivers?
And healthy Akeem Nicks?
No, but he still was incredible. I just also wonder.
I mean, how many times have we seen receivers go to play against the Jets, and they come out with a terrible stat line? Calvin Johnson had a bad stat line against him. Andre Johnson had a bad stat line.
But how many targets did he see in those
games? I don't disagree that the Jets won, but I don't take anything away from Darrell Revis. I still think.
I'm not trying to undersell Darrell Revis. I'm just concerned that, you know, coming off the ACL, he's getting up in age. He's changing teams now. You know, there's just a whole different, you know, situation right now.
But no guaranteed money. You have to give him credit for that.
Let's be clear. No guaranteed money. He's making more this year with
the Bucks. He's making $60 million, but
he's making
they
more
could
this
cut him
with
after
the
one
Bucks.
Year if they want.
He's
they
making
could.
More this year with the Bucks than he is with the Jets. It's a prove-it contract. Clearly, he's still not he's not hurt for money.
Oh, no. I'm saying from the Bucks' perspective, they both teams did well,
I guess.
It's
probably going to end up being at least a two-year, $32 million deal, and then after 2 years, the Bucks might come to him and say,
not if he stinks.
You got to, well, sure.
If he stinks.
If he's really good, then he's going to say, hey, you need to pay me more than $16 million.
Now,
but that's down the line.
From
I think it's a good deal all the way around.
From fantasy's perspective, I don't know if it changes anything, but we used to love when the quarterbacks were playing the Buccaneers. They had the worst pass defense.
Right.
Maybe it'll be better now with Goldson there and
Bucks
Revis.
Defense, if they can do something about their pass rush, and they'll get Adrian Claiborne back, they've got Daquan Bowers, if they can add one more piece, they can probably do it in the draft. They could be a sleeper DST. I like that secondary with Revis.
Well, they don't have a first-round pick now, right?
Right, so it's going to have to be a second-round pick to get somebody.
And Week 9, just to relive their trash-talking, Sherman versus Revis, Seahawks.
Yeah.
Week 9?
How about Week 1? Where it's
what's Week 1?
Tampa Bay and the Jets. In New York.
Oh, I thought Tampa Bay was Seattle. I thought week one was Seattle. I didn't realize week one was the Jets. That's incredible.
It's amazing how that works out, isn't it, Adam?
That's cool. All right.
Oh, those schedule makers.
Somebody's in baseball mode. That'd be me. Kenny Britt looking good in the offseason.
So basically you're putting Darrell Reeves down for what, 4 interceptions of Mark Sanchez?
Oh, yeah. You know he's going to get at least one.
They're not throwing at Darrell Reeves at all that game.
They'd be smart not to throw it at all if he's on the field whole year.
So your start of the week in week one is not going to be Mark Sanchez?
The Bucs DST.
All right, can we trust Kenny Britt? Apparently
now, that's a good reason to draft. Hold on a second. That's a good reason to draft the Bucs DST.
No,
in the last
it isn't.
Round. Absolutely it is. If you're the type of fantasy owner that likes to play the waiver wire every week, and I'm somebody that likes to do that, I absolutely advocate taking the Bucs defense in week one. Who do they play in week two? I wonder
just
if they have a
mind,
good matchup
in week
two. Just
keep in mind, we would have said the same two. Thing last year about taking the Bills DST.
Why?
The Jets?
Because they had the Jets in week one? Mm-hmm. That's a fair point. I'll give you that. Tampa Bay plays New Orleans in week two
and New England
in week three. So if you're drafting the Bucs DST in week one, you're punting on them going into week two. Who did the Jets play in week two? At New England. So there you go.
Kenny Britt, can you trust him?
Yeah, as long as he's healthy and as long as you get him with a mid-round pick, yeah. He's you want to talk about prove it. Deals. That's what Britt's got this year. If he has a big year, he's going to get paid.
We did that draft after the Super Bowl, and we've referenced this a couple times. I waited on receiver, and this was a guy that I took as my third receiver.
When did you get him? Do you remember?
Oh, it was round? Like round 8 or round 9.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that.
It's good value.
I don't think by the time training camp rolls around and all the reports are good on him, because if he's healthy, the reports will be positive. New offense, you know, Jake Locker, it was sort of adjoining news that Jake Locker also grasping the new offense, doing a good job. If they start to click, and especially in the preseason, if they look good, you know, Kenny Britt's talent really has never been questioned. It's just the off-field stuff, and can he stay healthy? And so if he's healthy and he's looking good, he has number one fantasy type receiver potential. I don't know in this offense. I don't know with this quarterback. Mm-hmm. But physically, he is that type of dominating receiver. He could just dominate opponents. And he's done a good job scoring touchdowns when he's been healthy. It's just a problem, you know, sustaining that sort of production over the course of a season. So Kenny Britt, somebody that even if he has a bad preseason, I still would take him in that range. You know,
as long as he's healthy, man.
Exactly.
If he's banged up and that knee isn't working out for him,
or the hamstring,
then you've
got
to run away from him like something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Dave couldn't come up with an analogy this time.
Oh, I had an analogy in my head. It just wasn't fit for this podcast.
Gotcha. All right. Darren McFadden says he's a fan of the new offensive scheme. Which is good because last year's didn't work out so well.
Right.
He said he was so excited for last year, and he couldn't have been more upset with the way that the year turned out.
No.
And I like the way that it was the Contra Costa Times in the story said he's excited and he's looking forward, and the writer, the transition was forward as opposed to going lateral or backwards. So
I'm still concerned about his health more than
of course.
Anything else.
Of course.
And so he's a risk. To me, we're doing projections right now. I believe they're going to be on the site sometime next week for everybody to enjoy. I only projected McFadden for 12 games. I can't.
I gave him
13.
I just think at some point, like you know, it's the same thing where it was 2 years ago, where we were down on him. He played those 13 games and he was fantastic in those 13 games. You just have to understand that he's going to miss time. You know, if you draft him, you just have to go with that realization. But if he does play, you know, especially that middle stretch of the season. You know, he's not somebody that if I'm drafting, I know, Adam, you look at this a lot, playoff schedule, I wouldn't count on him to be that guy for me in the fantasy playoffs.
I don't really look at it a lot.
I don't either.
I sometimes use it as a tiebreaker.
Okay.
That's all.
I would use the early season schedule as a tiebreaker.
He's somebody, though, for me that I look at that I can win a stretch of games if he's healthy.
Okay. And Mike McCoy, Chargers coach, talking up Denario Alexander. So is he a one-year wonder? Or is he hashtag legit?
He's going to be given the opportunity to be hashtag legit.
Okay.
He will, because who else do they have there? They're not going to spend a draft pick, at least not a first-round pick, on a wide receiver. I'd be stunned if they did.
They basically have one, though, in Vincent Brown coming back.
Right. And when you put this offense is so perfect for North Turner, because now you've got two big outside rangey receivers.
That's not bad for Mike McCoy. He did pretty well with that last year, too.
He did. And I think just the combination of Alexander and Brown does give Phillip Rivers something to work with.
Well, don't forget Malcolm Floyd.
And don't forget about Antonio Gates.
Sure.
And Eddie Royal for whatever type of use he might be able to get out of him. McCoy might be able to get out of Eddie Royal. He's going to be somebody that can help out the stats. I think that, that San Diego is going to try and use a no-huddle approach. I think they're going to try and throw a lot. They're going to see what Phillip Rivers can do.
That's not really McCoy's background, though.
No, it's not. But I think he's going to lean on what the strengths are. They can't lean on the run game when it's Ryan Matthews.
But they
can
be balanced. I mean, Matthews is another guy, though. If he's healthy, he's going to produce.
I don't know. He didn't produce last year when he was healthy.
I don't think he was healthy.
He came back too soon from the shoulder.
And that offensive line was so miserable.
Yeah,
talk about
they have a lot of work to do.
I would love to see them improve their offensive line.
They have to in the draft.
That would change things. In fact, I know, Dave, you were tasked with coming up with some teams that have some holes to fill. And if they do fill those holes, it could have a nice fantasy impact.
Right.
So we're hoping to hear from Dane Brugler soon. So I'll give you 5 minutes, if you could, to kind of run down the teams that you think
and I might
have
come up with more as we move along here. This is exciting stuff for me. In fact, I even just thought of one while I'm sitting here babbling to you. Pittsburgh's run game. Right now it's Jonathan Dwyer, Isaac Redman. There's no way the Steelers can feel
they
good
have
about
to sign
that right
on
now.
Bradshaw.
Well, unless they draft somebody this week.
Yeah.
And they might do it. If they can get Eddie Lacy's stock has dropped. I don't think he's going to be
without a doubt
a first-round pick.
Dropped? When were people talking about him being a first-round pick?
There was talk that he'd be a middle to late first-round pick.
I don't know first-round. I don't know if any running back was being talked about as a first-round pick.
Well, not lately.
You know, there are so many people talking about so many things that I'm sure it happened at some point.
Right, but I don't think anybody
talk about the draft?
Yeah, quite a bit.
I haven't heard.
I'll be talking about it shortly.
I think the Steelers, if they do sign a running back that they think could potentially start for them this year, they'll be out of the Ahmad Bradshaw.
See, but I almost think that they should sign Bradshaw because he's not going to cost them anything, and then draft a guy that could be somebody that they maybe cultivate.
They would have done that already.
Well, no.
It's draft week. They kick the tires on Bradshaw. They know what to expect from him. And if they need him, they're going to give him a call, and they're not going to know if they need him until Sunday morning.
What else you got?
Houston wide receiver.
Please.
Yeah. Andre Johnson's begging for them to take another receiver, and they need to do it just for their long-term sanity. And you thought that they did it last year because they drafted Devere Posey. They drafted Keyshawn Martin. Those guys, Posey's hurt. Otherwise, he'd probably be the one that they would try and jam into the starting lineup. Now, they need to take another receiver there. Andre's not going to last forever, and eventually maybe the three-receiver set that Houston will use is Posey, Martin, and whoever they draft on Thursday.
Ugh.
Detroit is talking about needing another wide receiver, kind of the same boat as Houston. They've had so many guys come in and get hurt or be a head case or get old, and I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get by with Burleson as their number two.
No. Hayward
Bay would have made sense for them. So I think Detroit's another one. St. Louis is another team. Right now they only have 5 wide receivers on the roster. Can you name all 5, Jamie Eisenberg? St. Louis Rams receivers.
Chris Givens.
1.
No, Brandon Gibson, I think you mean.
Brian Quick.
Quick, it's 2.
Pettis?
Yes, Gary Pettis.
Austin Pettis. Man,
the next two are tricky.
The next two.
Anybody out there? Anyone else know? This game's fun, isn't it? Nick Johnson, the legendary Nick Johnson.
The former Yankee?
Yes. And I actually don't remember the fifth one.
It's like an Azer trivia question
It's like a Azer fantasy tip. Don't draft a Rams receiver.
I like Chris Givens.
I do too. I think Brian Quick can make a jump this year too. They might need him. But if there was ever a team that could use Tavon Austin.
Quickly.
Raymond Radway is the fifth receiver. Jared Cook does not count, by the way. He's a tight end.
Okay.
We already talked about the Denver running backs and whether or not they need one. One other point I want to make out. How many times during John Elway's press conference did he mention no Sean Marino?
None.
Yeah. So I think if there's one running back on the way out there, I don't know if it's necessarily McGahee. It could be no Sean. I just think they don't like him. They had to use him last year. He did look good last year, and then he got hurt.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, so I could see them struggling. And then stop me at any time with any of these. Baltimore needs a wide receiver. I think
they like Tommy Streeter, your boy.
They do like Tommy Streeter, but
who wouldn't?
I think they could probably stand to add some more depth there in the draft. Tampa Bay at tight end. If there was ever a team that could use Tyler
Eifert.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I watched a couple of his games this morning. I like him a lot. He's just not
fast.
Oh, he's
great.
He's great.
I don't think they'll have a shot to take him.
Of course not, because they don't have a first-round pick anymore. But if they didn't trade for Revis and they added Eifert, I think that offense could be silly good. Buffalo needs a wide receiver as much as they're talking of T.J. Graham. Dallas definitely needs a running back. Yeah, well, but they have more than one pick.
Sure.
It'll be disgusting if they take Nassib 8th overall. That just doesn't work for me.
Sounds like he's going to be the first quarterback taken.
Yeah, that's...
EJ, people are going to go gaga over EJ Manuel, especially if he ends up in Philadelphia.
EJ needs time. I think he could be, and again, we'll talk to Dana about this, but I think EJ Manuel could be a pretty good quarterback eventually.
He should have been a better quarterback in college.
He should have been. And he looked terrible during the practices of Senior Bowl week.
Did he?
And then he comes out in the Senior Bowl and he kills it. Just had a great Senior Bowl game. Dallas, a backup running back to DeMarco Murray. Can you name the backup to DeMarco Murray right now?
Well, it's they're shuffling back and forth between Dunbar, right?
Uh-huh.
And what's the other guy's name?
If you're not Paler.
Tanner, I was going to say.
You're Tanner.
I was like, I know this, but I feel like if I say it, I'm going to be wrong because that seemed easy to me.
I just hope that you would have said, I hope you would have said Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner.
They're going to get another running back, and it's important to know who DeMarco Murray's backup is because Murray's got a case of the McFaddens. Cincinnati still might add a running back. Indianapolis, there's talk that they're interested in a running back.
The Bengals are so cheap.
I know. They how much money have they not spent? They've got to be $30 million under the
cap. They re-signed their own guys, and they signed James Harrison. I think that's the only free agent that they brought in.
They brought back Bernard Scott.
Well, I mean, that's one of the guys.
If he's not speedy, they're going to cut him because he's done nothing. And then last but not least, New England could use a wide receiver. They need somebody for Brady to throw to because who knows what the rest of their offense
I think the Steelers need a tight end, too.
Well, yeah, probably. Maybe they're the ones that get Eifert. That's who I compare Eifert to the most is Heath Miller.
Well, we are now going to be joined by Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com draft analyst. All right, Dane Brugler is here joining the podcast, talking NFL draft. Big day for him in just a couple of days. And by the way, we're going to have live coverage of the draft on CBSSports.com. So if you don't want to watch the same old shows that you've been watching every year, watch CBSSports.com. Live throughout the entire show, the entire draft, excuse me. All right, Dane, first question for you here. I know it's not a great year for quarterbacks. Are there any quarterbacks that could have a big fantasy impact or just a big impact in general in their rookie year? What do you think?
Well, you know, a question like that is so easy, much easier to answer after the draft because so much of it depends on fit. You know, you look at Russell Wilson a year ago. If someone asked me this question a year ago, I never would have guessed Russell Wilson. But he went to the right fit in Seattle, where he had a chance to earn the starting job and eventually get on the field. And of course, you know, he did what he was able to do, and is now one of the top young quarterbacks in the league. When you look at this year, look at where Buffalo, what direction they go, because I think whoever Buffalo drafts, because they're going to draft a quarterback. Wherever Buffalo goes in the draft, I think that quarterback will have an excellent chance to not only start early, but make an impact. You look at Ryan Nassib, the quarterback from Syracuse. Obviously, you can connect the dots there. You know, Doug Marrone was his head coach at Syracuse, familiar with the offense. Ryan Nassib makes a lot of sense for Buffalo, maybe as early as that number 8 overall draft pick. And if that's the case, I think Ryan Nassib could be a guy we're talking about having maybe an instant fantasy impact in the NFL next year.
Obviously, we talk a lot about running backs, and this isn't a very sexy running back class. Eddie Lacy's stock appears to be dropping. Can you just talk about that position and maybe some teams that you see could be targeting a running back maybe early, maybe late? You know, where do you see sort of that position shaking up?
Right, you know, first time in 50 years, we're probably not going to see a running back draft in the first round. But there's still a lot of good running backs in this draft class. I think we'll see a few come off the board in the second round. But then in the third round, that's really where we're going to see a lot of these running backs fly off the board. Talking about a Giovanni Bernard out of North Carolina, Andre Ellington out of Clemson, Christian Michael out of Texas A&M, Monty Ball out of Wisconsin. All these guys are going to be somewhere in that third round range and be guys that can be instant contributors in the NFL. You look in that second round, though, I think two teams really stick out to me that could potentially land running backs. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals, two teams in the AFC North. Eddie Lacy might be a target for either team. And then I think another guy that's kind of really helped himself at the Senior Bowl, helped himself with an outstanding senior season altogether, is Jonathan Franklin, the UCLA running back. You know, not the biggest, not the fastest either, but he creates with the ball in his hands, runs really close to the ground, knows how to make guys miss, breaks a lot more tackles than, you know, you would think just by looking at him. But I think Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin, two guys who might be the top two running backs off the board, but could be valuable, you know, running backs in the NFL next year as rookies.
Dane, who do you see being a good running back 2 to 3 years from now? So maybe you look at their skill set and they're not quite ready, or maybe somebody like Marcus Lattimore, who's hurt and isn't going to probably play his rookie year. A couple of running backs that maybe have some long-term value.
Well, sure. You mentioned Marcus Lattimore, and you know, if he's healthy, he's the top running back in this draft class, potentially a first-round pick. Not quite Trent Richardson, but he's still very, very talented. The question is, once he returns from his second serious knee injury, how will he be? Will he be a shell of himself? Will he return to top form? You know, I think Adrian Peterson really kind of spoiled us with when it comes to running backs and knee injuries. But I think, you know, Lattimore, if he can get back to close to where he was when he was 100%, he's definitely a guy who might have to redshirt half or all of this his rookie season in the NFL. But down the road, definitely a guy that can, you know, put up production and be a productive running back for a team. Another guy to look at, Christian Michael out of Texas A&M. If, you know, the talent-wise, he has everything you want physically, the size, the speed. He's just built so well for the position. You just don't know what's going on upstairs. He spent the entire season in the doghouse of Texas A&M coaches. If he can get his head on straight, if he can get some pro coaching, get some veteran presence around him, I think Christian Michael is a name we might be talking about down the road.
Is there anybody among the running backs that you don't like?
You know, a guy that a lot of people seem to be high on that I'm not is Le'Veon Bell out of Michigan State. Came out after his junior season, really productive at Michigan State. Was among Big Ten leaders in rushing. Big guy, built really well for the position, but not as powerful as he looks. Speed's average. Where he's really going to make his money in the NFL is on third downs, being able to stay in on pass protection, catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he's a guy that might be able to, you know, be a contributor for some PPR leagues when he comes into the game, mostly on third downs. But for a team looking for an every down back, I just don't see that in Le'Veon Bell.
It seems as if receiver is one of the few skill positions that actually is exciting some people. Can you sort of just analyze that position and some of the guys you see that are maybe rising a little bit heading into Thursday and, you know, some of the teams that you see targeting wide receiver?
Well, yeah, and, you know, wide receiver, there's no Calvin Johnson, there's no A.J. Green or Julio Jones type of prospects in this draft. I mean, the number one receiver that will be drafted is a slot receiver, and not many times we can say that, talking about Tavon Austin out of West Virginia. And he's really the only wide receiver where I feel comfortable saying he will be a first rounder. But the rest of these guys, the second and third round, wide receivers are going to fly off the board. There's a lot of talented guys where, you know, teams are going to decide, hey, you know what, we could take a Cordarrelle Patterson in the first round, or maybe we wait till the second round and pick up a guy like Keenan Allen or a Robert Woods or you know, guys like that. So I think we're going to see a lot of teams decide to pass on receiver in the first round because of the value that we see in the second round. I mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson. His teammate at Tennessee, Justin Hunter, he could be the second wide receiver off the board somewhere in that late first, early second round range. Quentin Patton at Louisiana Tech. DeAndre Hopkins, who is my favorite wide receiver in this draft. He is the number one receiver for me. And I think the Texans at 27, they're an interesting fit for a DeAndre Hopkins type of receiver. You look at the Vikings, who now have two first round picks, 23 and 25 after the Percy Harvin deal. They're in the market for potentially adding a wide receiver. The Jets at 9 and 13 also have two first-round picks. They might be interested in possibly adding some life to that offense, like a Tavon Austin. Same thing with the Rams. Also have two first-round picks, 16 and 22. Gets Sam Bradford some help on that offense. So all these teams will be looking at wide receiver. But like I said, I would not be shocked if these teams look at receiver and say, hey, you know what? Let's wait to the second round and get a talented receiver, and let's focus on another position in the first round.
Who would you compare Austin to? I mean, I know you mentioned slot receivers. A lot of people are going to, you know, jump to the conclusion, maybe like a Wes Welker or even a Percy Harvin. Is there somebody that you sort of liken him to, and do you think he can be an impact type of receiver for fantasy owners right away?
Absolutely. Tavon Austin, it doesn't matter who your slot receiver is. Tavon Austin fits on all 32 teams. I mean, he's that good. You line him up in the backfield, you put him in the slot. I mean, he really has the tools to be a gifted inside receiver. It's tough to make comparisons. You know, you don't want to put the Percy Harvin label on him, but that's, you know, that's kind of the player he is. He's not as big, not as built, and he's, you know, different, but he has that type of wow potential, that exciting. He's the human blur is really the kind of the nickname I've given him. It just moves so well. I mean, he just knows how to create with the ball in his hands. Tavon Austin is a guy who, like I said, fits every offense, and we might be surprised who takes him on Thursday night. You look at the Bills at 8, potential landing spot, the Jets at 9. There's a few teams in that top 15 that could surprise us if they take Tavon Austin that early.
All right, Dane, so what is going on with Geno Smith? This is a guy who looked like he had the Heisman Trophy wrapped up about halfway through the year. Now I'm looking at 4 mock drafts on CBSSports.com. Yourself, Rob Rang, Pat Kerwin, and Pete Prisco, 2 of you guys, not you, have Geno Smith going in the first round. Rob Rang has him going 8th overall to Buffalo. You don't have him in the first round. So why does his stock vary so much, and what do you think is going to happen with Geno Smith on draft day 1, 2, or 3?
You know, with Geno Smith, he's the top quarterback in this draft. And so I think he was unfairly put in that top 10 because a quarterback has to go top 10, right? You know, so him being that top quarterback, you know, you look at teams in top 10, they're picking there for a reason. A lot of them have a need at quarterback. So, you know, at some point, Geno Smith was going to the Raiders and then the Chiefs and then the Jaguars. And, you know, it moved around. But the more and more as we get closer, it seems like teams just they're not as convinced on Geno Smith. In the first round, especially that top 10, you know, it would not shock me at all if we see Geno slip a little bit. Right now I have him slotted at number 33 overall, which is in the first pick in the second round, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the most likely scenario we see might be Geno falls out of the top 10. Nassib might go 8, but regardless, Geno falls out of the top 10, falls somewhere into the 20s, and we see a team like the Jaguars, like the Eagles, potentially trade up in that late first round and pick up Geno Smith.
Let's talk about a surefire prospect, and it's at a position we haven't even talked about yet. Tyler Eifert at tight end. The Notre Dame gentleman reminds me a lot of Heath Miller, maybe with a little bit better hands, Dane. Wondering what you think of him and what kind of impact he can make this year.
I'm a huge Eifert fan. To me, he's the best skill position player in this draft. I have him slightly above Austin and DeAndre Hopkins. But Eifert, I mean, you mentioned the hands. He just attacks the ball in the air. He's not a guy that's going to create a lot of separation, not going to give his quarterback a lot of room. But it doesn't matter because you just throw it near his area, he's going to go up and get it for you. And he's kind of a soft-spoken guy on the field or off the field. But on the field, he's an absolute animal. I mean, just the body control, the ball skills. He's a plug-and-play guy. You put him in any offense, he'll be able to contribute. So he's a guy in that top 15. You know, I have him right now 13 to the Jets, be an instant help for Mark Sanchez in that offense. You know, if he goes to the right team in that top 20, and somewhere in that first round, yeah, Eifert's definitely a guy we'll be talking about. Yeah, a couple months from now as a potential, you know, fantasy guy that can put up a lot of points for a team.
All right, Dan, let's finish it off with a bust. One guy that if you were a GM, you'd be staying away from.
Oh, gosh. You know, there's quite a few in this draft. You look at quarterback. A lot of these guys are going to go higher than they should. To me, I just don't understand the EJ Manuel talk. He might go first round based on the raw skills. I mean, he's big. He has an arm that, you know, can throw it a mile. He's an athlete. He can move well. But for me, the quarterback position comes down to one thing, and that's from the neck up. And I'm just not convinced that he has what it takes. EJ Manuel is going to go high. He's going to go somewhere in those top 40 picks on draft day. But for me, I'm passing. If he's there in the fourth round, I'll take a chance. But I'm not taking him in the top 100 picks.
Wow.
Dane Brugler, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dane.
Thanks, Dane.
Good luck this week. Enjoy the experience.
All right, guys. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Dane, do you play fantasy football?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Just making sure.
Of course.
Okay, we'll have him back on later. We'll give him some tips. We'll put the show
maybe
on.
Maybe he'll give us some tips.
He'll give us
tips.
Oh, yeah,
tips that,
for
could,
sure.
That could work too. Yeah.
He'll definitely give you some tips.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely use some.
All right, Dane. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks. Happy to help you out, Dane. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Thoughts on what Dane Brugler had to say?
I hope that, how do you pronounce his name?
Eifert. Tyler Eifert.
I pray that he
doesn't go to the Jets.
Oh, my God.
I was blurted out. No!
When he said that, I was like, Oh, please, God, no.
Dave called him a gentleman, Tyler Eifert. A gentleman from Notre Dame.
A gentleman from Notre Dame. Can we let everybody behind the scenes here? So as Adam tests the interview.
No, you're wrong about what you're about to say. You're 100% wrong.
And he was making us sit here and sit here and sit here.
No, you're wrong.
Because he couldn't hear
back
everything. And then he decided to go, oh, wait, the mute button was on.
No,
his computer was muted, and that's why you couldn't hear.
How am I wrong?
The interview.
Because it was only muted for the last go around. When I was testing it earlier and I couldn't hear anything, I checked. It was not muted. I just couldn't hear anything. It was
whatever.
Weird.
Listen, all I know is listen. 1 second he can't hear anything and then he hits the mute button and he can hear everything.
Unhits the mute button.
Whatever. He presses the button.
All I know is AIZER kept us sitting here waiting and waiting, and the audience was waiting and waiting for
I read a study, by the way. Do you know the number one most effective thing on podcasts that listeners love the most? Inside jokes that they have no idea about.
But we just explained it.
No, the whole AIZER thing. They love it. It's great.
They don't know your name?
It's great stuff. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. All right, let's read some
whenever
tweets
you
here.
Meet anybody and you have to spell your name out, that's how
you say it every time
it
you read the podcast. The
AIZER.
You can follow us on Twitter. AIZER.
Well, you don't think I'm experienced in this. Obviously, people think I'm saying AICER when I'm on the phone. And they get my name wrong, so I have to say Z as in
Z. Right. You're absolutely right. I'm not experiencing that at all. My last name isn't Azer.
When you're saying that, is the phone muted or unmuted?
That's good. Okay. All right. John Langer on Twitter wants to know, if Chris Ivory is traded to the Jets, can he become a capable pass-catching three-down back?
No.
I don't think he'll have the opportunity to at first. I think he could have given the opportunity.
Well, that depends. Is Mark Sanchez falling into somebody's behind or not?
Probably.
The problem is that he'll have to split carries with, or split that role specifically with Goodson and Bilal Powell.
Yeah.
So he won't get that.
Mook's Insight.
Oh, I know him.
Moops! Should I continue to value Victor Cruz and Jimmy Graham as high as I have in the past two seasons?
I don't know why you wouldn't with either one, frankly. Graham should be outstanding despite last year's struggles. He had some bad numbers through a stretch last season, but you know why? He played with a messed up wrist. He's healthy. He's fine. He's a dominant beast. He's Tyler Eifert with experience and speed and a couple more inches on his.
And Cruz, brain. You know, I mean.
Tyler Eifert. We don't even know what he's going to be.
Cruz, the problem with him last year was his yardage fell, which was bound to happen. I mean, he set a franchise high with yards 2 years ago. But his touchdowns were just the same. His catches were right there. So he's going to be fine. And a healthy Akeem Nicks is only going to make Victor Cruz better.
I agree.
Andy K with the easy question of the week. Do you still? I love Andy Kay. He's a baseball listener too. Do you still see Breeze as a number one quarterback?
I see him as the number one quarterback.
Yeah, he's my number two guy, but he's elite. I mean, you know, you're gonna love drafting Drew Breeze in round two, especially if you get a good running back in round one.
Dan Long, two-year keeper league with PPR. Who do you draft? Rice, Calvin, or Charles?
Wow, that's a good question. It depends where you're drafting, I guess. Because if you're picking early in round one, I would go with Rice over Charles. At the running back spot, just because Rice's track record is pretty amazing when it comes to catching the ball. But if I'm toward the end of round one and I'm picking between Calvin and Charles, I guess I'd rank them Rice, Calvin, Charles the way he has it.
Yeah, I would, too.
To save the simple.
Exact same way. But that's not to say I don't like Charles.
Love all three of these guys.
Yeah, in a PPR league, it's you're looking at 100 catches from Calvin with running back-like numbers to go with it. I don't think he scores 5 touchdowns again. I think that number goes way up.
Dan Long says...
What?
I just read Dan Long's. Sorry. Bodo dot.
I wish you could mute
Bo dot dot. I don't even know. Bo dot dot.
I know Bo dot dot.
Okay.
Big Bills fan.
Should the Bills take their quarterback at number 8 or trade down to gather more picks for a rebuilding year?
He put there in quotes. Of course they should trade back at 8. Their quarterback is massive.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
Could have said the
game.
Same thing about Ryan Tannehill last year. In fact, I didn't think much of Ryan Tannehill at all. Not that I know anything about these guys, but Tannehill just seemed like a big loser to me because every time in a close game at Texas A&M, he would just find a way to lose the game. They were a terrible second half team. So I was like, no, the Dolphins are crazy. They shouldn't take Ryan Tannehill. And now I kind of feel like they made the right choice.
Well, they made the right choice. The question is, could they have traded back
four or five picks and still
picked him up?
Well, I would love if we could go back and interview Dane again. I would love to know where Ryan Tannehill would go in this year's draft.
He'd be the top quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, there was also, I know it was Ryan Mallett. I'm trying to think who the other backup quarterback is.
Brock Osweiler.
Exactly. That those two guys would be first-round picks.
Oh, yeah?
If they're in this year's class.
Okay, so the Bills should trade down, you think?
Well, I think a lot of these teams that need quarterbacks, I mean, just for what Dane said, this isn't a good class of quarterbacks. And you mentioned E.J. Manuel as a bust. I mean, you could probably look at all these quarterbacks, you know, Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Nassib, and find flaws in all of them, very easily find flaws in all of them. And so, you know, for the Bills, who clearly need a quarterback, you know, I like what he said about Jacksonville, who if, you know, if Geno Smith falls, they trade into the first round to get him, you know, because you know what.
That's going to happen with one of the quarterbacks for sure. Guaranteed it's going to happen.
We had a fun argument in the office today. Do you think any of these quarterbacks will win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback?
No.
See, I said
yes. Yeah,
but
you would have probably said the same thing about Flacco.
Or Kaepernick or Wilson. I just feel like somebody's going to be good. Somebody's going to be good here.
So I'm going to land in the right situation.
Yeah.
I agree with Dane. I don't think that there's a great quarterback in this class at all. I think there's a lot of good ones that might happen to, you know, Rex Grossman their way into a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Trent Dilfer their way out of one.
Trent Dilfer won at least. Grossman.
Yeah, right. Grossman cost his
team.
Okay. Brett Schiller. With free agency done, who would you take in a two-quarterback league, Breeze or Peyton Manning?
Breeze.
Well, it's a keeper league, so I think you got to go Breeze. Because Peyton, you don't know what his shelf life has left.
Could be almost any kind of league. I'd rather take Breeze.
I would agree.
John Velasky says, the impact of coaching changes on Charles McCoy?
Good. Positive for both,
you know,
significantly.
McCoy spoke a little bit about what this offense is going to be like, and I thought it was interesting that he said he needs a second guy because he doesn't think he's going to be able to handle all the plays.
Now,
Chip Kelly, I think, is going to find out that his offense is not going to make a seamless transition, as most college offenses don't, into the NFL. So we'll see exactly, you know, how he's going to run things. And if they're trailing in games, can he be as run-reliant as he was in college?
Right.
McCoy, clearly, skill set is better than Bryce Brown's as a receiver out of the backfield. You know, McCoy's track record is pretty proven. He had, what, a 70 catch year or 60? It was definitely 60-plus.
I can check for you, but you're on the right
track. His big breakout season, before the 20 touchdowns, the breakout season that he had when he first replaced Brian Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, he can do it all, whereas Bryce Brown, not the same type of player. Bryce Brown had really the one great game.
78 catches in 2010.
Yeah, and Jamaal Charles, you know, playing in Andy Reid's offense, you know, Jamaal Charles, two of the last 3 years, and he's been healthy, he's been over 1,500 rushing yards. So now you give him Andy Reid, who can do wonders with his running back. I think both these guys get a positive impact. You know, McCoy was going to be good no matter who the coach is, and I think the same thing about Jamaal Charles. But, you know, they're staying in great offenses, which is a good thing.
I think you can draft them and feel good about it this year.
Yeah,
and
both are going to be great value, but McCoy is going to be the better of the two because I think people are going to look at Andy Reid and go, wow, Jamaal Charles and Andy Reid, I like that. I'm going to take him 6, 7, 8. McCoy, I mean, we could see McCoy fall to 10, 11, 12 potentially. You know, Calvin's going to be a factor in there, and then someone invariably is going to take a quarterback, and LeSean McCoy is sort of going to be that ugly stepchild on draft day that you're going to go, wow, I got LeSean McCoy at 12. Thank you.
Then he's not such an ugly stepchild.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would recommend if you do get LeSean McCoy, Bryce Brown is a must in round 9. I'd say.
Yeah, and to reference that previous draft, you know, I think it was Scott White who took Bernard Pierce early, mm-hmm. you know, when he drafted Ray Rice. I wouldn't overreach for the number two guy. You know, maybe the one number two guy that I would maybe reach a little early for is Ben Tate just because of Foster's workload and that offense and what it sort of caters to.
Right.
But, yeah, Bryce Brown is a must. Bernard Pierce is a must. Tate is a must. You know, and then you start to look at the tandems where they're almost, you know, somewhat on equal footing.
Last question from David Auerbach. Strategy for the number 11 pick, standard snake 12-team league, and then he wrote Crazy Chickens.
Must be his team name.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would say best player, best player.
Best player, best player.
Yeah, I agree, with probably an emphasis toward getting at least one running back.
Yeah, I think at 11.
Running back, tight end.
You could come away.
Yeah, you could do tight end, running back.
You could come away at 11, although Gronkowski's situation is starting to skew that a little bit. I don't.
Well, he could be your second running
right.
back, maybe.
I think if you're able to come away with. Because you could potentially get Calvin at 11.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the early part of the second round, depending on how you want to go, I would agree with Dave. If you probably want to come away with a running back. But you could be looking at Calvin and Ridley, Calvin and Steven Jackson. Mm-hmm. Potentially, if you get one of those running backs, maybe like an Alfred Morris at 11, then you could, you know, if it's Dave, it would be Breeze. If it was me, it would be Rodgers. You know, you're in great shape pretty much anywhere toward the end of the first. It's not like in years past, you know, where you're like, oh, I have to get one of the first four or five picks because I want to guarantee myself one of those elite running backs. You get Ridley, you get Morris ahead of Ridley, but you get Morris, you get Ridley, you get Steven Jackson. If Maurice Jones-Drew is healthy, that's a good early second-round pick, you know, if all the reports are good.
LeSean McCoy isn't going to be in that mix, too.
At 11, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I almost think you've got to lean toward running back.
And if it goes 10 straight running backs, and you want to make sure you get one of those guys, it goes 10 straight running backs, you want to get Calvin at 11, you know, and you're not sold, let's say, on Steven Jackson, which I don't know why you wouldn't be at this point, but
well, he's old.
You can gamble on Chris Johnson, maybe, gamble on DeMarco Murray, you can gamble on Matt Forte, I think is going to be tremendous value wherever he ends up, but...
if he's going in this, with the second pick.
No, I'm not... Second round. Most people aren't going to do that, but... He's going to be somebody that's going to produce at that level because of the new offense that he's in.
Thank you, friends.
And thank you, everybody, for the tweets. I mean, you know, you only read a small sample size. We did get a lot for last-minute solicitation of them.
This was fun, though. It's going to be cool because everybody sent this. When did they send this? Tuesday in the middle of the day?
Yeah, right. I think
now they're going to hear it Tuesday night.
I think I asked for it on about, 1:30, maybe. 2 o'clock.
Well, thanks for all the participation.
Always a good reason to follow us on Twitter.
And thanks again to Dane Brugler for joining us. And watch our draft show on CBSSports.com live during the draft, all 3 days.
Yep. So Thursday and Friday with Nathan Zagura. And then Saturday, Jamie and I are going to break down what every team did. And that's live on CBSSports.com on Saturday. So instant fantasy reaction on CBSSports.com.
Cool. All right, guys, have a great one, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Z.